Regarding that last caller, the one about them trying to plead these cases down, well, when I went to court for driving without a license, they didn't want to budge with me at all. It might be because I'm white.
Hey guys, love the show. I just want to chime in about the burglaries you're talking about. It's my understanding that the officers from Golden Valley that stopped the vehicle had no idea that these burglaries had already taken place because they had yet to be reported. Based on what they found in the car, they didn't have probable cause to make an arrest at that time. You can't arrest someone for just possession of marijuana and possession of power tools. So they did what they should have done, which was document the identities of the people in the vehicle and release them from the scene because they had nothing to hold them on.
Good stuff.
Yeah, my only counter to that would be in if we weren't in these sort of political climate around police officers, if perhaps there would have been more done, a sobriety check. I don't know if a sobriety check was done. It doesn't say in the story. But maybe if there would have been more done, there would have been less hesitancy to do that. And he's right. I mean, all of the circumstances that he laid out played into this story. And they were eventually caught, but not before. I mean, they were pulled over and then committed more crime and then were caught.
Right. How brazen, though. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just, I would never go on a burglary spree anyway, so it's not really a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean,
but I would think, like, if I were in the midst of a burglary spree, like an interaction with police officers like that, and they're seeing me and the power tools and the marijuana, I'd probably be like, let's take a break. Maybe pick this back up in a few days, you know? You know, it takes some time off. We had a few good scores here. Why don't we? No, they just went on. We got to go to Buffalo. We got Taco Bells to hit.
You know, and the Taco Bell in Buffalo is actually so good, and it's managed by such nice people. Don't burglarize anybody.
Well, and to sort of extrapolate, you know,
it's true.
Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. We got the round table in with this, and we have Jeff
really
O'Brien,
like that Taco
lawyer extraordinaire. Scott Johnson from Powerline.
The Power Bowls are lit.
It's a story last hour. Two suspects were charged in a series of smash-and-grab break-ins at fast food restaurants throughout the western suburbs after multiple police departments coordinated to connect the crimes to a traffic stop. These two individuals, 30 years old and 27 years old, had apparently traveled up from Texas. They robbed a Taco Bell. They robbed a Wendy's. They were pulled over by Golden Valley police officers who did not know at the time that the other burglaries had taken place. There was a leafy substance believed to be marijuana in plain view. They searched the vehicle. They located large amounts of loose bills in the center console, gloves, a backpack, power tools. They were let go, and then they continued their crime. They went to Plymouth. They went to Buffalo. They were eventually apprehended after the connection was made over this stop at the Mall of America at a parking ramp. When they checked their hotel in Delano, that's where they found all the items that connected them further to these robberies. And so the question is, what we've kind of been talking about is they were stopped and they were let go, and it seems like we know the reasons why they were let go. But there's a lot of circumstances that shouldn't be that way,
yeah,
based off of the amount of, you know, potential evidence that was there and a hesitancy by Golden Valley police officers to do anything about it.
They were stopped at 2:30 a.m. While they were out on the spree. That's why they didn't run into any of Samantha's friends in Delano. There was nobody at the shop overnight. And that was the whole thing. I'd love to know if the officer asked these guys, hey, what's up? What are you guys doing?
Well, and to Drew, before we get to the calls, to what you were saying a moment ago about, you know, hey, why don't we take a break? I think this speaks to sort of the brazenness, and you can extrapolate that. These guys have gotten very confident in what they're doing. They'd already gone through two different drive-through windows, already used their power tools, stole stuff, and now they got pulled over by police. I mean, at this point, do you not feel like the Terminator? I mean, you've been pulled over by police.
Right.
There's to go. There's pot there, power tools, money. And they're like, right. Have a good night, guys. Drive safe. Remember to turn your lights on. Be sure. Have a good night. Yeah. Probably you should get some sleep soon.
They were like, man, I love this state. What a great state to rob fast food restaurants.
Jeez,
in.
Man.
Let's go to the phones. Jim in St. Paul, go ahead.
Hello, Jim.
Jim!
Jim.
Oh, he had a good comment, too.
No, he didn't.
R.I.P.
What was his comment? Don't remember? Oh, okay. Well, he said he had a good comment.
No, his comment... His comment was, I didn't realize that Drew had actually already hung up on him. His comment was essentially, if he was a criminal, Minnesota would be the place that he would want to come to.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, yeah. You can get away with a lot.
Criminals get treated pretty well here. Yeah, they certainly get treated better than small business owners.
Yep. Well, and tweets like this coming from Minneapolis City Council members don't help. A member of the Minneapolis City Council, this would be Robin Wansley Warlobah, is seeking to imagine a city doing that thing with my fingers without police could look like.
Okay. Just leave it at that, though. I mean, really, just leave it at the imagining. Let's not actually do this. Let's not try this. Just imagine it for a while, and then go on about your day.
Robin Warlobah, the Democratic Socialist with a PhD in gender, women, and sexual studies.
Oh my God!
From the University of Minnesota.
In that now,
apparently. Tweeted on Tuesday that she intended to introduce a motion to create proposals on a hypothetical Minneapolis Department of Public Safety with no police officers. DPS would centralize and better resource non-police public safety like mental health and social services, she claimed. Look, this rebranding of a new age hippie mentality is going to and is getting people killed. I mean, that's all this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already know. I mean, you can see what it looks like already with having fewer police officers. Mm-hmm. But, her thought is, well, if we just have more mental health and social services and, you know, hugs, not drugs, guys. Just go out there and just talk to the criminals. We can get them to stop.
The part that's confusing to me is I've talked to people, and I know of people who live inside of Minneapolis who are legitimately afraid for their safety. Because of everything going on, and yet every damn election cycle in that city, they vote for the leftist candidates. You understand where this is. You're voting in the people that want to do this stuff all the time.
Yeah, they continue to vote the same type of politicians. They continue to vote for the same party over and over and over. And then they sit here and wonder, like, why is my city gone to crap?
I mean, well, it seems like the only solution to save Minneapolis maybe wind up with the state somehow putting it into receivership or taking over. I mean, there's twice. When Arne Carlson was governor and when Tim Pawlenty was governor, they sent the state patrol in to provide law enforcement in Minneapolis. I mean, there were 100 some cops below their limit that the minimum the charter calls for. Mm-hmm. And who's going to who I don't see everybody lining up with job applications. So I don't know somehow the state's going to have to intervene there and figure out how they're going to fix Minneapolis.
Well, the state's not going to intervene as long as a DFLer is in charge of it.
I mean, no.
You know, that's not going to happen. Tim Walz has been so absent in the Twin Cities. I mean, when you think about the crime problem that Minneapolis and St. Paul have been dealing with, Tim Walz has had nothing, no leadership on that whatsoever.
Let me clarify.
And hold on. Mr. Educator Governor, right? Mr. Elementary School Teacher, football coach Tim Walz, has he uttered a word about the fact that Minneapolis students haven't had school in 2 weeks?
No.
Has he said a word about the teacher strike? Where's the leadership from this guy?
No, he's busy tweeting out pictures of himself getting a Mountain Dew at the vending machines at the Capitol. I mean, let me clarify. In the event that this state finds itself under new management come January, it is going to have to do something to intervene and fix Minneapolis.
State Patrol, that's a tough job. They're really not trained to do it.
No, they're not.
Yeah. You and I have been practicing law a long time. I go back to the time when, I ended up sitting in on a lot of hearings waiting to get motions argued back in the days when they had a criminal calendar before they heard civil. And the thing that always struck me, and this is going back 40 years, is how much you had to do to get sent to jail or prison. It was unbelievable 40 years ago. Now, forget it. And, and that is why we are where we are.
Now you're not even getting arrested.
It's just a massive under-incarceration.
I'm going to sound like an old man here, but I just remember growing up, you know, and going out and with my buddies on the weekend and just, you know, how you didn't want to get pulled over, right? And how concerned you were about getting pulled over and getting pulled over. I got pulled over a ton when I was younger.
And I still, every time I get pulled over, you have that moment of like, oh my God, you know, like what's going on here? And you have those
nerves. Of course.
But when that would happen to me in like my late teens and 20s,
yeah,
I was petrified.
It's terrifying.
I'm petrified of getting pulled over.
I got pulled over so many times, I had to write an essay to the California Department of Motor Vehicles explaining why I couldn't have my license taken away. That is a true story.
Oh, I hope that's on record.
That is a true, that is an absolute true story. That is a true story.
I gotta get my hands on that.
Because I think of the typos.
Because I drove for a living. I was a housing inspector, and I was doing my auctioneering, and it was always traffic infractions or speeding.
Freedom of information request.
I got pulled over so many times.
Where was this?
Google
it. California, DMV.
Get on it.
I had to write an essay and explain why I could not lose my license because my livelihood depended on it.
All I want to do is read that.
When I applied for admission to the State Bar of Wisconsin, they actually forced me. I had to itemize any previous citations. I had to itemize all my moving violations at the end of the
Drew, you can read it. It's called Embark. It's available on Amazon.com.
You didn't save a copy of it, did you?
No. I don't, it might be in my poetry binder. I don't know. It might be there. I know where that is.
That's amazing.
All right. Speaking of the smart dudes on the show, I'm curious to get your thoughts. We'll start with this article, and I think Jeff O'Brien, you alluded to this earlier. From the AP, legal experts praised Judge Brown Jackson in her final day of Senate hearings on Thursday with a top lawyers group saying in its review that she has a sterling reputation, exceptional competence, and is well qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. Outstanding, excellent, superior, superb, testified Anne Claire Williams, chair of the American Bar Association that makes recommendations on federal judges. Those are comments from virtually everyone we interviewed. Williams said the group spoke to more than 250 judges and lawyers about Jackson. The question we kept asking ourselves, how does one human being do so much so extraordinarily well?
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, well, Amy Coney Barrett was, a handmaid,
yeah,
only doing the bidding of her husband.
Kavanaugh was a rapist.
Kavanaugh was a rapist.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, two points. Number one, anyone who actually gets nominated for the Supreme Court, if you look at what the American Bar Association or some of the lawyer groups use as a standard for qualification, all of them have been qualified.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the qualifications thing isn't
right. This
isn't
ridiculous
a
talking
They're
point.
All qualified.
This ridiculous talking point that she is the most qualified nominee in history. First of all, y'all remember Robert Bork? He was, some argue he was the most qualified, and it was the guy who nominated Judge Jackson that torpedoed his nomination, his confirmation.
That would be Joe Biden?
Yeah. Brett Kavanaugh was qualified. They tried to torpedo him. Mm-hmm. Amy Coney Barrett was qualified. They tried to torpedo her. Mm-hmm. The hypocrisy of the other side of, everybody that the Republicans put up is evil and unqualified and stupid, and anybody that their side puts up is the most brilliant jurist on the face of the planet. It's just tiresome. And it happens every time. And, I was surprised in these hearings. I know they brought up both these, the less lenient sentences or the less than the standards for the child porn cases. And I thought when that came up in the hearings, I thought she was going to kind of say, well, that was taken out of context and maybe push back on it. She didn't. She doubled down on it. Wow. And between that and the comment, the question about the definition of a woman, I think at the worst case scenario for the Republicans is she gave them two wonderful sound bites to be playing in the midterm elections. But if I were the Republicans, Mitch McConnell came out yesterday and said, I'm not voting for her. I don't know where Collins, Murkowski, and Romney are. But if the Republicans hold together and if they start running ads in West Virginia with those comments, I there is a chance, there's a very slim chance that she doesn't get confirmed. I was one going in, I don't know where you were, Scott, on it, but I was always thinking of the choices, given that he had narrowed the scope to he was going to pick a black woman, of the three names that were being bandied about, I thought Michelle Childs was the most qualified of any of them. And I think it was Manchin, Clyburn, Grant, Lindsey Graham, and Tim Scott all told the president that, go for Childs, and they went with the more ideological candidate. So
they do every time.
Yeah.
They do every time. You know who else was qualified? It was Janice Rogers Brown. Would have been the first black woman on the Supreme Court were it not for the current president of the United States,
right.
Joe Biden.
Right. Yeah, and also we have the only black man sitting on the court right now. Biden tried to torpedo him.
We'll continue this conversation. I know, Scott Johnson, you've got some thoughts as well. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines here. Last segment before the Friday news quiz. If you want to get some comments in, 651-989-5855, or you can use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio.
What can you do with a home loan from PennyMac? Slam dunk that split level. Toast that tutor. Revel in that ranch. Together, we've got this. Choose a mortgage lender over 4 million homeowners have relied on. PennyMac. Greatness lives here. Learn more at PennyMac.com/greatness.
PennyMac Loan Services, LLC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS ID number 35953. Loans not available in New York. Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Conditions and restrictions may apply.
FM.
Imagine Minneapolis without police. I'm imagining Mos Eisley Spaceport from Star Wars.
I'd just like to say what everyone might be thinking. That is, maybe a small amount of profiling is a good thing when it comes to community safety.
Can the lawyer extraordinary give me a definition for the word woman?
Are you a biologist, Jeff O'Brien?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, then you can't define a woman. You can't define that word. How dare you?
Her being a woman was one of the prerequisites for her appointment. If they'd asked her, are you a woman? How do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Oh my gosh. Well, I saw that yesterday on Twitter when they were giving memorials for Madeleine Albright, you know, saying first woman Secretary of State. And they said, did a biologist confirm that?
Oh, my gosh, what a mess.
Welcome back to Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk. Let's grab Josh in St. Paul. So we were talking about police officers earlier with the story of the crime spree that was taking place in Buffalo and Minnetonka, the guys that came up from Texas. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for holding on. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, see, I just want to add this to it. I've been an officer for over 20 years, and the cops are out there doing their jobs. They have a very limited box that they get to operate in, and they are always trying to push the limits of that. That's why we have as much case law as we do. And they're out there, and they're trying to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And what happens is prosecutors don't charge cases up. They always try to get the least charge they can, or judges are simply not holding people accountable. Case in point. We in the city I work in had a shooting. Lots of rounds getting fired off at two different rival people in a parking lot. Cars, apartments, all sorts of stuff getting shot. Thankfully, the only person actually hit by a bullet was one of the associates of these guys shooting at each other. One of the guys takes off, flees from the officers. The officers end up catching him. In the car, he has a Glock with an automatic switch on it. County attorney doesn't charge him with felon in possession. Charge him with the plea. The guy takes a plea deal. The judge accepts his plea deal. And his sentence is he gets a year and a day for his felony plea, but they stay it for 3 years. He doesn't spend a day in jail other than his first 3 days he was in. And he only gets a $78 fine. A speeding ticket in Hennepin County costs more than $78.
I paid $110 for having expired tabs.
Right. So we need to take that conversation bigger. And my point to everybody is, if you live in these counties where crime is out of control, is vote. Vote, vote, vote.
Yeah.
So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate all you do and appreciate you calling in. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to hear these stories over and over and over. We could spend a whole week of shows talking about the prosecution and prosecutors and why they are doing the job the way that they are doing, why they're choosing to go for the lenient sentences. You know, I mean, that there's a whole batch of issues there that I don't know how to solve. You know, so it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Getting back to a Senate committee wraps up hearings on KBJ's confirmation. The final four hour hearing yesterday featured not only legal experts but government officials, civil rights groups who supported Jackson, and conservative advocates who opposed her. Scott Johnson from Powerline
questioning whether the leniency of her sentencing in child pornography cases is basically worse than accusing her of rape.
Yeah, that was according to the Washington Post editorial board. That was pretty gross. Yeah.
The mainstream media refers to the hearings as a circus in that respect, asking her questions about her record and related issues raised by her record.
This is why Republicans suck, by the way. This is real quick. I'm sorry to interject. This is why Republicans suck. They spent how much time in those hearings did they spend talking about how we're not gonna treat you like they did Kavanaugh. We're not gonna disrespect you. You're gonna leave here and you're gonna know even though we disagree, we treated you well. You know, all those things. And all that's true. Like, they didn't do any of those things. Are they getting an ounce of credit for? No. They're worse. They're worse than the Democrats who accused Kavanaugh of rape. They're all racists and white supremacists, all because they questioned her rulings. What are you supposed to do in these hearings?
Those Democratic senators on the Judiciary Committee did everything but physically assassinate Judge Kavanaugh during his confirmation.
And they did everything but make out with KBJ.
And so the conclusion I drew at that time is, if you are a Republican senator, and not telling your colleagues, I will never vote to confirm a Democratic nominee to the Supreme Court. I'll do everything in my power to block appointments during a Democratic presidency. You're out of your mind. And that's where I am on this. Add the fact that you don't have to listen to her for more than 5 or 10 minutes being questioned by a Republican senator to come to the conclusion that she is a lunatic leftist who will buy off on every article of the evolving orthodoxy of the progressive left as it materializes in the next few years. There's no mystery to that. And you can figure it out from her tone of voice, her lecturing the senators and so on. So, I don't think it's a mystery where she is and that she shouldn't be on the Supreme Court.
No, you can disagree with the positions and the opinions of Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan and still respect them as intelligent human beings and intelligent jurists. Justice Sotomayor, as we saw during the mandate hearing, when she was just basically stating falsehoods about COVID statistics, that's what a Justice Jackson will be on the court. My concern is more towards the ideological nature, the partisan nature of a Sotomayor versus a liberal but intelligent jurist such as Kagan or Breyer.
Well, once again, sort of dropping back a bit, when you look at all the issues we're talking about, whether it is, and I think Jeff O'Brien, you articulated it very well in comparing what Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh went through versus what KBJ has gone through. The calls that we've received, that officer that called a moment ago and the other calls that we've received of the standards of which officers are now approaching just random stops. Officers always had discretion, but that discretion has now shifted in a world that sort of the decisions are made from a center that's devoted to political correctness or wokeness. And it really has grab and hold of the country, and it's infecting everything, you know, right from police stops, you know, to the way that we handle individuals who are brought in for breaking the law, to the way that we treat Supreme Court, you know, nominees. And again, the America and the voters, I'm going to get really grandiose here, but they're going to have to decide again in these November elections, you know, what do we want this country to be? And I hope we see a wholesale change. And I hope that if we do see a wholesale change in Washington, that those Republicans that get elected do something about it. And I hope we see that again come 2024. Because going back to the initial conversation we had at the start of the show, where we talked about how Trump was outpolling every other politician out there right now. I mean, the justification that brought him and gave him 4 years of the presidency, the left has doubled down on those in a very, very very short period of time and given people even more reason to have somebody like a Trump back in office again. We got to decide which way we want this country to go because we're dying.
Little things like that, like what you said, they do give me optimism, you know, going into the next couple of election cycles. Many a caller and many an email have, you know, reflected on the Carter years in the 70s and how that led to Reagan and that led to a boom time for America under Reagan. And, you know, so many parallels between what we dealt with in the late 70s and what we're dealing with right now. I mean, all you can do is hope that, you know, the next couple of election cycles, and I don't know who it is. I'm not going to sit here and try to make predictions as to who it might be, but maybe that'll come around. Maybe that, you know, we saw all the same predictions coming out of the pandemic, you know, the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic led to the roaring 20s and a decade of largesse and all of that, you know, and maybe that'll happen. We'll see. We come out of this dark time and move into something much greater.
Well, there was a story. We won't have time to get into it in an abundance of detail before we get into the news quiz. But it really does sort of represent the conversation we've been having. Out of the Star Tribune, after initial misstep, Lyrics Arts recasts show to emphasize inclusion. When Smokey Joe's Cafe started out with a less than diverse cast, Facebook commenters and white actors expressed concern. The bottom line on this whole thing is that, well, it says right here, so after auditions and callbacks, I had a gut feeling we didn't have enough black and indigenous people of color of representation, said the director of this play, Vanessa Brooke. She says, when Vanessa and I were laying out headshots and making final decisions, we both felt, wow, I wish we had more diversity, but neither of us said it. These were individuals that auditioned, so it wasn't a matter of excluding anybody.
Right.
It was just,
they held open auditions.
They held open auditions.
And they cast from among the people that held the open auditions. They had a cast of 12 performers. Three of them were of color. That's not terrible representation. You know, out of 3 out of 12, that's not awful. It's not like it's an all-white cast or anything. But the problem is they were going to have some white performers sing songs that were actually originally done by black artists, and the white performers felt a little uncomfortable with that. Like, where are we in this world?
They're lost.
Where are we?
They're lost in a web of woke. They can't get past it.
You know,
there's no reason to feel this way.
The arts are supposed to be, you know, the arena where all of those differences get set aside and we find common ground in our arts. I get really, really, really angry when they start trying to segregate art and content. This art is only for black people, and this art is only for white people, and this art is only for indigenous people. That's not how art works.
Was it the Simpsons a few years ago that redid the voiceover talent on the show so that you didn't have white people voicing ethnic characters?
Yeah, well, they had the whole thing with Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
We laid it out. Here's what happened. So people commented on Facebook, right, without context of any of this, right, and complained. The reasons for the less diverse than hoped cast were complicated, but the solution was
not. No, they weren't. No, they were complicated.
No, they weren't.
You, that's who showed up to audition.
We decided we would increase the number of black actors in the cast by 3 to 5, and if we couldn't, we would select a different show.
Quotas. Quotas are great. Quotas always work.
We went to work, we made connections, posted again for auditions, and got some amazing new casts of characters. As a result, Smokey Joe's Cafe will now open on April 8th with 15 actors, including 7 people of color.
The issue of representation in Smokey Joe is more nuanced than, say, whether it's cool to cast a white actor as the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., which the Star Tribune helpfully puts in parentheses next to, that's a no. Just in case anybody was wondering if that's okay. Which, I'm fine, whatever. But, you know, everybody loves Hamilton. And Hamilton has a multi-ethnic, multi-racial cast of characters, all playing some very, very white people. All very, very white people are being portrayed in that show. They're historical figures. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton. All incredibly white people. And nobody has a problem with it. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I think it's great. It's a fun show. I love listening to it. So if we're okay with that, why wouldn't you be okay with a white person acting, as in a role of Martin Luther King?
because people have been indoctrinated into believing that it's not okay. And they can't even go with their own emotions, even if they know what they're doing is right.
It's acting.
They're too afraid. They're too afraid. They're lost in their own woke. They don't even know what's right or wrong anymore in their mind. When in reality, they do, but they're so afraid of anybody claiming that they're being racist or not diverse, even though it has nothing, even though there was nothing wrong. They held open auditions. These were the people that auditioned, and they hired the cast.
Well, and think of how far we've slid now. I'm a child of the 80s, right? Probably my two favorite musical artists in the 80s were Prince and Michael Jackson. Those two guys had a more diverse fan base than probably any other artist around, and today that's not seen as a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently it's a problem to have a white actor perform a song that was originally done by a black artist, which is just insane. It's so stupid. Art is art, and art is supposed to be the one arena where we set all that aside, we find the common grounds, we all find the things we love. When a white artist performs a song that was done by a black artist, instead of looking at it as appropriation or stealing, why don't you look at it as honoring?
Yeah, homage.
And respecting.
Yeah.
You know, and like, instead of appropriation, think of it as, wow, what you guys are doing over there is really cool, and I'd like to be a part of it.
Well, think about this, and go back to the era of like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, right? And Led Zeppelin. How many of those British rock bands brought back, the 50s rock and roll, the old blues artists, Muddy Waters, yep, Howlin' Wolf,
they went out
Robert
of their
Johnson.
Way.
We
they
wouldn't
went out of
know
their way.
We wouldn't know about those artists, yep, without those British bands, the white bands redoing and making everybody aware. And it's a sad, country on our country, but for them doing those covers, we would have lost that entire genre of music.
On the other hand, Ray Charles had a whole second career doing country and western songs, just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
how
mm-hmm.
tragic it would have been if he left
right.
himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, why? But he was performing art that was popularized by white musicians, and that's appropriation, Scott. He shouldn't do that.
It's crying time again.
Stupid.
Friday news quiz up next. You still have a few opportunities to let us know who you will think will win between Sam, Jeff O'Brien, and Scott Johnson from Power.
The MasterBuild app lets me control my charcoal grill and smoker from anywhere. So even though I'm at the game now, I know there'll be a perfectly smoked brisket waiting for me at home. The MasterBuild Gravity Series. Let gravity do the work.
All right, final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Let's not waste any time because we're running behind this morning. Let's get right into the Friday news quiz. Three rounds, audio, parody, headlines. You guys are all veterans. You've done this before. You know the deal. So we will jump right in with the audio round. We have six audio clips, two for each of you. Your job is to tell us who's speaking in these clips and provide any relevant context. Points will be awarded accordingly, and all judges' decisions are final.
Scott Johnson, you're up first. Here's your audio clip.
Two voices in this one, looking for both of them.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in okay. this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
Too tough. I can answer that. Marsha Blackburn, Senator, and Judge Jackson.
There you go.
That is
two
correct.
Right. Two
Thank
points,
you.
Scott. Starting you off with a little slight advantage.
Thank you.
Jeff O'Brien, who's this?
Do you agree with this book that is being taught with kids that babies are racist?
That would be Senator Ted Cruz.
Wow. That would be Senator Ted Cruz. You are correct.
Sam.
What?
Audio clip. Here you go.
Oh.
I hope when this is over, people will say you were at least well treated, even if we don't agree with you.
I am unsure.
Scott.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham at the hearing.
That is correct.
Oh, it's been a while since I've heard Lindsey's voice. Whoop.
We are back around to you, Scott. Audio clip number four. Who's this and what are they talking about?
For those that supported question two, this takes a whole lot of the good stuff that you all campaigned on and pushed for.
That has to be Mayor Fry delivering the goods.
Yep. That is Mayor Fry.
Jeff O'Brien, here's your second audio clip.
And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
Who is that?
That would be the Vice President Kamala Harris. And in terms of context, I have no idea what the hell she was talking
Neither
about.
Neither does she.
No, yeah, nobody knows.
Neither does she. All right, Sam, last one. Who's this and who is he talking about?
If you want a strong reason to pray for the health of the President of the United States. That reason is the Vice President. She's just dumb. The dumbest person ever elected in American history.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
You guys, I don't know the name of this person.
Jeff?
That's Newt Gingrich.
Yes,
Thank you. I'm starting off strong.
Yeah, not the best start for
She's
Sam.
Pacing herself.
It's okay, you guys. I am the secretariat of the news quiz.
She cleans up in round three every time. Scott, 4 points. Jeff, 3 points. Sam, a big goose egg.
That's all right.
As we head into the parody round, I got one parody song for each of you. If you can correctly identify which news story is being referenced by these parody songs, you will be awarded points.
Scott Johnson, here's your parody.
The Minnesota flag is a mighty fine flag. Leave it alone, let it be, it's just fine. Don't go change it just 'cause some woke fools fuss. Deal with some real world problems instead.
I know our state flag has become controversial and there's a crew that wants to change it.
That's correct.
Some lawmakers over in St. Paul feel like they should change the Minnesota flag because they've fixed every other problem.
Well, they apparently have too much time on their hands.
Jeff O'Brien, what's this about?
We are teachers, nothing more. Destroying capitalism is our goal. And there's no school for your kids until that is done.
That would be the Minneapolis Teachers Union, who are looking to end capitalism and smash the patriarchy.
It's way too easy this week. Way too easy this week. Except for Sam.
Yeah, except for me, I'm at zero points. Is this one hard, too?
We never know with you, Sam. Here's your parody.
Keep up Tom's ball. Tom's very last ball. But now Tom's got more balls, and there'll be many more balls. And you'll have the ball, and they'll have the ball. But I'll have the most expensive ball of them all.
This is about Tom Brady's, formerly was his last football that he threw, but then he's getting back into football, so now it has no value, and it kind of just screwed that one guy out of a lot of money.
That song was so confusing to me as a kid.
Was it?
The original one.
Was it?
I was just like, are they singing about what I think they're singing?
Yes.
About? Is that what it really was? No, I meant as a kid. That was me being a kid at the time when I heard it.
They were. Right. They were indeed.
Five points, Scott.
4 points, Jeff. 1 point, Sam. We move into the headline round. Buzz in with your name when you think you know the answer to the blanks in these headlines that you are supposed to fill out.
My heart's beating so fast.
One point available for headline number one. Blank test positive for COVID.
Sam. Hillary Clinton. Wait, what?
Somebody should have waited until I read the whole headline.
Scott. Jen Psaki.
That is correct. We'll miss Biden's Europe trip.
Okay, but I was right.
Yeah. Well, you didn't hear the whole headline, though.
But that's not the whole headline we're looking for.
Exactly.
Headline number two. Blank declines in Hennepin and Ramsey County.
Sam.
Oh,
population density.
Population, not density.
Okay, same thing, whatever.
No, it's not.
It's actually really not.
Okay, close enough. It has the word in it.
All right, headline number three. St. Paul School Board votes to keep blank.
Sam, mask mandate.
Headline number four. First ever blank fetches $2.4 million in an online auction. First ever blank fetches $2.4 million in online auction.
Oh, I don't remember. I remember the story. I don't remember the
Marvel line. Comic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The one we talked about for a
long period of time.
See,
being on the show does not give me an advantage, people.
Headline number five. RNC registering new voters at blank.
Hey,
Jeff.
Sam.
Jeff.
Oh, what?
Gas stations.
Why did they start with hay?
Yeah, I don't know. Why did you start with hay?
Headline number six, blank forced to pay Trump $300.
Sam. Jeff.
Sam.
Stormy Daniels.
No idea how she's going to raise that money.
Headline.
Stop.
I have a few.
Documentary. We're talking about this. Make a documentary. That's right.
Write a book.
Yeah, nature film. Headline number seven, blank removes music from streaming services in Russia.
Sam. Spotify? I don't know. The way that John looked at me. Oh, my God.
Spotify.
Just what is what? I just wonder where she goes. Where does she? Where does she go? Anybody? Anybody?
Guess.
No.
Dolly Parton.
No. Pink Floyd.
Headline number 8: Blank first female Secretary of State.
Jeff. Madeleine Albright.
Good job.
That's correct. Passes away at the age.
Allegedly, first female Secretary.
We don't know.
What is that right? Woman, anyway?
Good call in the biologist.
Two points available here. Blank style executions to get the green light in.
The one where they shoot you.
Okay. There are 2 points available.
Firing squad.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's, firing squad. That's 1 point. It gets, gets the green light in blank.
West Virginia.
No. Scott, in Texas?
No.
No. Jeff, you want to take a stab at it? There's 48 other states. Let's pick one.
Florida. I don't know.
Oh, can I try again?
No.
Connecticut?
South Carolina.
Oh, I had a C.
All right, final headline, and this is a close one. Really anybody's game right now, depending on who gets this. Final headline, Vikings sign former Green...
Jeff. Zadarius Smith.
All right. And with that, Jeff ekes out a 1 point victory over Scott. It was 7 points, Jeff. 6 points, Scott. 5 points, Sam.
I could have gotten
that. What
a game. What a game. Good job, Jeff.
That's so bad. Wow.
Everybody who predicted Jeff would win, keep an eye on your email. Keep an eye on your DMs, your direct messages. And via one of those paths, Sam will be in touch with your Twin Cities Cannabis gift certificate.
Well, Jeff, now you can rub it in Jennifer's face.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
She bet against me.
There you go. Yeah, your own wife didn't think you'd win.
You know, we had the headline, and we talked about this earlier in the week. The population declines in Hennepin and Ramsey County. Real quick, Manhattan, San Francisco are leading the nation in population decline. So, the borough of Manhattan, New York County, they had a decline of 6.9% in their population. San Francisco County had a decline of 6.7%. So, you're looking at a drop. It's in New York. That's 1.5 million.
It's not a small number.
It dropped to 1.5 million from 1.6 million.
Still not a small number.
And then you had 873,000, basically 874,000 to 815,000 in San Francisco County. Also, top three counties, Los Angeles was included in that as well. When you look at places people are going, it's Texas, it's Dallas, Houston, Phoenix. Those are all places where people are gravitating towards right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised a couple of Florida counties didn't make it on that list. I mean, it seems like everybody...
Yeah, you're right. It's,
you know, I know so many people over the course of the last 5 years that have moved to Florida. Jeff, you were saying the same. You were talking off air that you might have to go get a Florida license.
Yep. Yep. All my good clients are talking about moving to Florida, and Florida requires you to take a test, not to the other bar exam, so yippee. Yeah.
You know that Georgia rep, Hank Johnson, he's worried that Florida might tip over. There are so many people moving there.
Well, I have a question for the declines in Hennepin and Ramsey County. Where is the growth? Is it Wright County? I'm guessing it's probably like Wright County.
I don't know.
Like counties. I bet Wright County's going up.
Yeah,
that's for real. I mean, there's so many people that I know that have moved out to the area recently.
Yeah, but now we're like throw a rock, find a new housing development.
Yeah,
and you know that's. I mean, with the housing market being what it is right now, it's really interesting. I'm very curious what's going to happen over the course of the next couple of years with the housing market, specifically new construction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the supply chain issues and the costs of materials.
Yep.
You know, the housing prices are already going up. New construction housing prices are going to be a real challenge, and I wonder what that's going to do to the demand for the existing houses.
With all the land regulations and legal restrictions, you know, building code requirements and permits and, you know, permitting fees and stuff, Minnesota's always historically been a higher cost of construction, and the building materials price increase does not help.
Yeah, it's going to be a real tight market for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
We've now reached that portion of the show where we find out whether or not we've done our job appropriately. We can only learn that through what Sam learned today. What did you learn today?
Well, around 6:30 this morning, I learned that Donald Trump's favorability rating is topping every national political figure right now. And then after 7 a.m., I learned more about the super strict and super dumb rules that First Lady Jill Biden put in place for a party she's hosting at the White House. And then after 8 a.m. this morning, I learned about the saga of some suspects that were charged in a series of smash-and-grab break-ins at fast food restaurants around the state. And they were stopped by cops in Wright County. Those are the best. If you missed any part of the show today, you can find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew.
Congratulations, Jeff, on being the champion of the news. Thank you so much, Scott Johnson, Jeff O'Brien, for coming in and joining the roundtable. Any last-minute plugs for either of you?
Powerline and Alpha News, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, guys.
JeffreyO'Brien.today, ChestnutCambrone.com.
There you go.
If you need a legal representation, give me a call.
Great job today, guys. That was a lot of fun. Good show. Thank you so much for everybody listening, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yes. Enjoy the sun. It's still going to be cold.
It's going to be a little cool.
34-ish.
Decent weather.
But it's supposed to be sunny out, so that's a good
decent
thing.
Decent weather. We'll be back on Monday, 6 to 9. I'm telling myself, do you hear me? I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. I don't give
Governor and I, we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. Give me better books
so I can read about myself. The Masterbuilt app lets me control my charcoal grill and smoker from anywhere. So even though I'm at the game now, I know there'll be a perfectly smoked brisket waiting for me at home. The Masterbuilt Gravity Series. Let gravity do the work.